When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, everyone, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with my man, Shang. It's going to be a great show. We got Derek Meaner. We got Britton Hart. I was in Vegas last week doing the Laugh Factory. That was awesome. I did 10 shows. Normally you do 10 shows in 3 days. You're like, oh, I'm going to do 10. I couldn't wait to talk to people. Like, I was like thrilled to just,
how was the crowd?
Crowd was good. I mean, it was definitely like at 30%. So there was like 45 people tops, but they were there to laugh. They, in fact, like, I felt like they were like animals that have been crated and that you just let them out. Because I think some of them were having just full-on conversations with me. One lady, this black woman, every time I told a joke, she goes, you bad, stop.
Yeah, apparently it was the old lady from some escaped slave. I mean, who says that?
She goes, you bad. I'm like, what is this, like the Michael Jackson remix? You know, I was like, you're up for Flavor Flav's grandma. But she was having fun. Those are the worst type of hecklers, the ones that are having fun.
You can't slam them. You can't be like, shut up, you jack-o'-lantern face whore.
Yeah, I didn't want to slam her. She was having a good time. She's like, man, you're too funny. I'm like, did you expect you were coming out to a TED Talk or a poetry? Like, of course I'm funny.
Right.
But she was like, man, you bet. She's like, stop it. She was yelling, stop it, after each, after the jokes. I'm like, stop. But it was like, I put that in my act. I used her as like, but man, that was crazy.
I mean, I was going to hit him up. I just sent a thing to Harry, but so it was good then.
It was awesome. And actually, it was, I had a great time. The hotel's nice. Tropicana's nice. It was fun. The gym is beautiful. There's no one in the gym, which is great. And then a couple guys, and then I always love Vegas. Cowboy Kamaka came, and he's, you know, a badass in the UFC.
Yeah.
And he showed up with his wife, who has three kids. They look like teenagers. I think it's because Hawaiians get married at like
when they're seven.
Yeah, and have kids so young.
Right. But
they look like, it's so funny when you see people on TV and they're just monsters, you know. Even if they're 135 or 145, they're all shredded, and then you see them in person, and you're like, man, this looks like the kids I coach in wrestling. These look like,
right,
the middle school team. That happened with O'Malley. Showed O'Malley with his friends. I realized how young O'Malley was when I saw his buddies. Because they looked like they were kids shooting like TikTok videos or something.
Right. He should be on a skateboard somewhere in a park.
Right. Yeah. It's exactly how that was. 100%. What else is going on? I'm in therapy. And I haven't been in therapy in like 12, 13 years. And now it's just weird also being on therapy. I'm doing it via Zoom, and my wife's walking in and out of the house, and I'm like talking about her complaining. So I feel like I'm talking to a female about my wife who, you know, and it's just like, so that's like, and then my wife's like, why don't you tell me your problems? I'm like, well, you're not on my, you know, insurance. And so that just becomes a joke in itself.
Oh no, completely.
But it's nice talking to a female that listens for an hour. I mean, that's not interrupts me and blames me for all the problems. Just having that is amazing. I'm like,
right. And you don't have to have her say, well, you know, you need to pick up behind yourself. No, I don't.
Yeah, or well, yeah, you do. How can you do this? Or you feel this way. It's nice to just actually be able to talk to somebody and not just feel judged or yelled at. Or, but I fucking wake up at 8 a.m. and I work and I do this and I do that. I'm just like, oh. So that's like, even like people are asking me, are you going to have another kid? And I'm like, it's not up to me. It's up to my wife. Like, because she's.
No, it's up to you too.
It is up to me, but she's the one who had to carry the baby for 9 months.
No, it's up to you too.
It's up to both of us, but she had the
right. But I said you too. Yes.
Yeah, but she told me.
Do you want another kid, though? That's the thing. Do you want another kid?
Look, I love
speaking from a guy that got two kids.
Yeah.
Do you want another kid? And I want a girl. I want a girls, and I got boys. It's like,
look, it's exhausting. You know, even like playing with the kid. Yeah, I feel like I'm putting on a show every time I play. You know, like, my daughter's like, let's play dollhouse. And I have to be, and I always have to be the same doll. And I always have to be Kristoff. And then I have to, like, play all the characters. I feel like I'm doing, like, a one-person show. It's exhausting. But my wife's like, I'm like, should we have another kid? She's like, well, I did 9 months of the work. You were involved for 35 seconds. You know, so that's, which I think she's overestimating it by 30 seconds.
She's pushing it a little bit. But no, I honestly... I've been there twice, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, I would not trade it, but at the same time, I'd probably be a little further along career-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, but I'm writing a lot more since I've had a kid. Number one, about her, about the kid. And also there's that like anything that I was doubting myself on, should I do it? Should I contact person? Should I email this agent? I think of my kid as the motivator to do it.
Right.
So I don't like, I'm like, I got to do it. But I'm working in therapy. I'm working on not beating myself up, because I was realizing that, like, I start the day, like if I wake up at 9:30, I'm like, fuck, I woke up too late. I'm already beating myself up. Then I go take a shower and I weigh myself. I'm too heavy. Fuck, I'm too heavy. I got to lose weight. I'm like, I don't know why. I don't have a fight coming up, but because of my...
Are you cutting weight? Are you cutting weight for that?
Because of my eating disorder that I had in high school through wrestling, I still have it. People don't realize how much... Because I would weigh myself before and after every meal.
Right.
And how much I weighed was how I felt about myself, because if I was too... I would have complete OCD. If I weigh too much, then I'm gonna have to lose my match, and then I'm gonna not be this, that, and then no one's gonna like me, and I'm gonna be a loser. And I'm still going through that at 42 years old. I haven't had a match in 24 years, but right. But in my fucking head, I'm like, if I weigh in at 185 or 187 instead of 185, I'm like, oh, I'm heavy. So, which is crazy. And then I'm like, the whole day, I'm like, I didn't work out today. I didn't spend enough time with my kid today. I didn't write enough jokes. My podcast doesn't have enough views. It's just like all day long, just beating myself up. And I'm working on like, no, let's look at things as opportunities. Like, I'm going to work out today, or I'm going to write
more. Right, that's why I got up at 5:30.
My podcast is going to fucking kill it today. Like, people are going
to right.
I'm going to like, no, I'm going to hang out with my kid today. I'm working on restructuring how I'm thinking. Because you know, it's hard enough winning when you know the whole, it's like the world's against you. You can't be against yourself, you know.
Oh, yeah, so, you already got enough shit that's gonna happen to you anyway.
Right.
Why put more shit on top of the shit and make it a shit mountain?
But it's hard. But it's hard as a comic, because at least my type of comedy is negativity is funny. You know, nobody wants to see. I mean, I don't really get off on positive comics. There's a couple of them. The comic that just shits on the world, to me, is the funniest comic.
Right.
So it's hard to, like, train yourself to be negative in your job or in your writing or just funny and positive in your life. Sometimes...
No, you can do negative in your life and negative in the comedy. I do angry, evil shit in my life, and I do angry, evil shit.
I know, but I'm working on not doing that. I'm working on...
I also
want to be the same person that I teach my kid to be. You know, I'm teaching.
Right. Yeah, no, I teach my sons stab as many people as possible.
No, you don't teach your kids.
No, I don't. Of course, but there's a perception that I do. So fuck it. What did I do, Craig? How did I lose my mind?
All right. We'll get back to you because that we started. So I was looking at your Facebook. Okay.
What thing did I put?
Okay, I was looking at your Facebook, and you wrote yesterday, 2 days ago, "I'm single and ready to mingle."
I know that was today. Me being silly. Right.
2 hours ago. I know there's a pandemic. Fucking things up, but you know you want it. So all the single ladies, holla. I am COVID free and I have stretched. I smell like a baby's buns. My left toenails are clipped and my gas smells like pineapples and angel sweat. So ladies, the inbox is waiting. Woo! LOL, and send it to my website right now. Like, is this gonna work? I mean,
No. If anybody does inbox me, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was kidding.
Did anybody inbox you? Any girls?
No, fuck no. They laugh. They give me the little laugh thing. Yeah.
Well, you only got two laughs. One was from me.
I'm not sure
this is a good strategy to meet women. So I just don't know.
No, I can meet them normally
my baby's crying because of this. Is she okay? What happened? She hit her lip.
At the party.
Are you okay? What happened? Come here. It's okay.
Been there.
So It's okay. So it's okay. She went to a party and hit her lip, right? Is that what happened? Okay.
My son went to a party and almost sliced his thumb off. So
really,
wow. Yeah.
These parties are too much. These parties.
No,
too much.
Yeah, no. They had the little swing, the swing thing. The chain caught around his thumb.
So what else is going on? That's what I'm saying. So it does seem like you are single and looking for a chick. Is that what's going on here, Shane?
No. I was joking.
Oh, okay.
Right. I wouldn't have said that my left toenail was clipped. I would like, no, I, if I wanted to talk to a woman, I would inbox her directly or I would, I'm not that type of dude. If Paige VanSant was single, I'd walk right up to her.
Come here.
I just saw Paige VanSant on some video and she was throwing like flip roundhouse kicks. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so she hurt her lip. Okay, it's okay. It's a, she busted it pretty bad. Does she have a scar?
The table with the cakes.
Yeah.
Right in, and there's like and kind
of
tripped and it felt like
okay. So she cried the whole way home.
No, she just started when we came up here.
Okay.
Is she okay?
I'm like recording now.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Anyway, so all right. Let's. By the way, so this crypto is driving me crazy because I have money. I have money in Coinbase and I can't get it out. They're saying till spring because I put the wrong cryptocurrency in my wrong wallet. Like I basically like almost robbed myself, but I'm in my wallet. So tell me they can return my tokens. Meanwhile, the money keeps going from like 50 to 100 grand down to 50. So it's like, you talk about stress. I have beyond stress. So I actually hit up the president of the company and I told him what happened. And then I told everybody, if they give me anything to joke about, I will retweet the joke. So his entire inbox got filled with MMA jokes. So now they finally got back to me because of that, I think.
So what are they going to do?
They're going to return my tokens by spring, but hopefully they're worth something because they were worth like, they went from
$0.10
to $5 back down to $3. Oh, my wife and I just
can't let all of that's all chaos. I'm telling you, you're already focused. Just like when you were going into a match, even though you're worried about your weight back and forth, weren't you focused?
Of course. It's also beyond my control. I did an infomercial but for a massage chair. Did I tell you about that?
No.
It just came out today for a massage chair. And I get there and the director thinks it's like The Godfather or good for, he writes a whole script and he goes about, I'm playing myself. I put it on my Instagram at Adam Comedian if you want to see it. And I'm playing like my twin and one guy's complaining about his back and the other and I have like a bad mustache. And the guy took it so seriously. He's like, this is not about a massage chair. This is theater. And like, just.
Was he crazy?
Yes, but in a good way. But and then they put me on the chair. But I kept fucking up my lines because the longer I did the lines, the longer I got to be on the massage chair. So, and it felt so good.
And you got relaxed. Like, yes.
So it took me like 7,000 takes. So my massage chair video came out. In other news, before we get to MMA, Mr. Potato Head. Did you hear about what happened today?
No.
All right. So he's no longer Mr. Potato Head. He's just Potato Head. He is now gender neutral. I guess
he's Mr. Potato Head.
No, not anymore. He's just Potato Head. I guess he doesn't have to pay child support.
Oh, these people kill me with that.
Yeah, it's like they're not making – like they're, now is this going to be a Fox News talking point? This is going to be on Tucker Carlson all week long. They're going to have to they're going to have to actually talk to Mr. Potato Head, which is going to be crazy.
Find out how he feels about – or he or she or whatever he chooses to be called. Oh, it's fucking stupid.
I mean,
you know, I've been all weekend – I was all week I've been promoting the special, so I just – I've been out of it. I mean, I did watch the fights.
Yeah, but
aside from the fights, I've literally been in because I don't have anybody, you know, I don't have anybody to promote my special. So, but luckily, it's doing really well. Really well.
Of course it is, because you're hilarious. My dog. So my dog was sick. And by the way,
I saw the picture. Yeah.
By the way, thank you to my buddy who sent me some CBD for my dog, which was very nice. But I feel like now everyone's a doctor. Have you noticed that? Like every comic, everybody on TikTok is either a life coach or a doctor. And it's just, it's insane because everyone's telling me what to do with my dog. Oh, he probably has this, probably has that. But nothing was worse than when my stepmom had cancer, right? She had like, she died. She had leukemia, stage 4, neuroblastoma, was going through it. And this comic hit me up and she's like, hey, I run this thing where it's like a comedy cares thing where we go to tell jokes for people and we can help cure them through our material and through our jokes. Could we come see your stepmom? And I go, listen, you know, thank you. But you know, she's got like, it's really bad. And I don't think this is going to work. She's like, well, please, you know, let me have a chance at it. I was like, she kept hounding me. Finally, I was like, stop texting me. But like the last thing my stepmom wants is bad comedians coming, telling her jokes while she's in a fucking coma. Like, I mean, that might be a way for her to just end it and say, you know what? Like,
there's, you know what? I need to be taken out.
Yeah.
If you do one more Tig Notaro impression, I'll fucking kill
like,
myself.
I can't think of a worse way. Like, it's you sitting there and all of a sudden just horrible open micers come in or comics come in just telling you. I mean, I was like, stop it. Like, you're not going to cure my stepmom with your comedy material. Like, she's literally like in the best hospital. She's in Mount Sinai. She's, you know, she's the best doctors working on her. And I'm like, what's wrong with people, Shane? Like, why do people?
No, I mean, because that, you know what? Stage time. They just need stage time. That's just like they don't care what it is. I mean, I've been writing a lot. I do a Zoom show and I got my material straight. So
yeah, I know, but it's just like, come on. I know it's just hard. I have to work on romance. Like last night, I came in. My wife's like, "What do you want to watch?" And I'm like, "My dick go in your vagina." And she didn't get it. No, she got it. She looked at me like, I can't believe I'm married to this guy. So let's talk
it's
about.
Too late. It's too late now. It's too late. She can't go back now.
Let's talk about some fights. Okay. Well, actually we got a guy coming in right now. Derek Manor, who,
yeah, you know, I mean, he deserved that shit. Oh, there he is right there.
Yeah, there he is.
Talk about deserving it. Talking about. Fuck yeah, deserving it. That's what I was. Even in the interview I was watching, I was like, damn, he deserved that.
Derek, I've never seen you so pumped after a fight. Was this the happiest you've been?
Yeah, man. It was, you know, his. I think that catapulted me into another part of my career, if you were to say. So I was pretty pumped just because of all the talk, you know, about his black belt, how great he was at jiu-jitsu and how that, and how great I was able to follow the game plan that James Krause set out for me. I was just excited. Everything came into pieces into that puzzle.
No, it was great. Now he was tough though. I mean, the guy could take a beating. I love Charles Rosa. He's a tough guy. I was surprised he didn't use his boxing more, cause he's also known as a striker, but you just, were you surprised at his, like, tenacity and willingness to stay in there?
The thing is, like, everybody keeps comparing me and Bryce Mitchell's fight with him pretty similar, but I beat him way worse than Bryce Mitchell did. And so I was pretty surprised on how tough he was able to be alert after being rocked so many times and then being able to fall to his back and get his guard back right away. And, yeah, there was a few things that surprised me, but, no, man, he's had fight of the night 4 times for a reason. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he.
Hello. I think he
it froze.
But yeah, he's had fight of night four times for a reason. That's true. Come back. Derek, you still with us?
Here, brother. I'm here. Are we good?
Yeah. It went haywire for a second. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think it was because I pulled up into my house and the Wi-Fi turned on, so it was all kind of messed up.
Nice.
Go ahead, man. I was going to say that talking shit about his jiu-jitsu is what I thought. It was like, yeah, you did talk a lot of shit about your jiu-jitsu, and the shit didn't work out, motherfucker.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, man, people don't understand. I don't have a black belt because I choose not to have a black belt. Because I choose not to be in the gi. I choose not to there. But when they start talking about experience, when he started talking about levels of this, like, people don't understand. I went through the levels of this. He did not. I went through the fucking meat grinder to get where I'm at. A lot of guys didn't nowadays. You know, there's very few of guys like me that are getting to the UFC in the last year or two that have been through the meat grinder. And I was just, I feel like I'm one of those guys that just went through the grinder to get there, and it's paying off.
Well, let's talk about that, because you're 26-11. I mean, you've had 37 fights, which is a lot of fights. Your first amateur fight, you got disqualified.
That's the thing. Like, I was fighting when there was unsanctioned. And so majority of my amateur fights, I had 14 or 15 amateur fights. And, there was one DQ in there, though. Yeah, that's a good story if we want to hear that.
Talk to us. What happened?
So I was fighting this kid. I had already fought his brother. I beat his brother. I beat him. And then somebody had pulled out on me or him, and we were both like ticket sellers. So they're like, well, you guys want to fight again? We're like, cool, whatever. We didn't really care for each other. And we were in the cage. I was beating him up. I was wrestling him ground and pound. And like, he kept like headbutting me from bottom. But the ref was this freaking dude that just – he still to this day, he can't ref with a shit. So he was behind us and he was like, Minner, watch your head. And I look at him, I'm like, I'm not the one doing it. And so finally he was like, one more time, you're going to DQ you. And so the dude cracks me with a headbutt and they DQ me. And so I turn over and I start looking at the ref. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what, you know? And he like gets up in my face, my opponent did. So I smacked him with a bare hand. And so he went to his corner. They separated us. I went to my corner. Well, all of a sudden, he comes sprinting at me. The ref had left the cage to check the video, and he sprinted at me. And so, like, then he's running at me, and I'm like, well, we're still in the cage. So I cracked him again. And then at that point, his two little dork corners jumped the cage, and they're like these little guys. And then Ryan Jensen and Anthony Smith were in my corner, and they jumped the cage. And Anthony grabs me and Grant hauls me up, and Ryan Jensen goes right for the ref and like was in the ref's face, and like it was.
Is there any video of this?
I don't know if I still have it. I'll try to find it and send it over to you.
Please, that could go viral, man. Are you crazy?
Yeah, man. I should have messaged the guy, the promoter at the time. It was in Victory when Victory was around. This was 2011, but yeah, man, it was pretty crazy, you know. Like, and then I get outside the cage, and then they wouldn't let me back in. His fans were like coming at me. Oh, it's fucking nuts.
That's hilarious. You and Anthony Smith and Ryan Jensen, that's a fucking trio. Holy shit.
Yeah, bro. And the thing was, like, his corners were like just these little amateur fighters, and then like they jumped the cage and they were like tough, and then all of a sudden Anthony and Jensen jump the cage, and they're like, they curl back in their corner real quick.
Wow. Now that, so this is while the ref is checking the tape. The ref, so what was it? So the ref's checking the tape, and all of a sudden, fucking a melee breaks out. But why do you get? Did they disqualify the whole fight? The whole fight was done after that?
No, they disqualified me because of the headbutts originally, and then after all that shit broke loose, they just separated us, gave the kid the win. But you know, I still counted that as a win.
You were on top.
Then.
You were on top. The guy's headbutting you from the bottom, and did you headbutt? Did you headbutt him back at all?
Yeah, man.
Do you headbutt him back?
No, I mean, I was like, as a wrestler, I was just grinding my head. You know, like, I didn't know shit at that point, man. I was like 6 or 7-0 as an amateur. Like, I just wrestled. You know what I mean? And so I was just like forcing my head into his chin, and he would just kept like bringing back. Bah! But yeah, dude, it was crazy, man. I'll have to find that video for you.
I love that story, man. That's the kind of stories that, like, Man, and then but so then you go pro and you lose your first fight in 1 minute. And this guy's for anybody out there watching this, because we have a lot of amateur fighters that watch this, people, you know, and they go out there, they lose in a minute, and they go, ah, I'm just not good at fighting, or I'm this is not for me. I gave it a shot, and then their girlfriend says, I told you so, or their parents are like, go back to college or whatever it is. But oh, yeah. You went out, lost in a minute, and now here you are, 37 fights later in the UFC. I mean,
it's crazy.
What was it about you that kept you going?
Fuck, man. One thing was, man, I don't like to give up easily, man. And I just kept moving forward. And I knew that I was good enough to be there, but I would have the hiccups. Like, I'd lose that bum in my pro debut. And then I went on a 5-fight win streak and I lost to another dude I shouldn't have. Like, it was always like the losses were always me winning, like decisively in the fight and then getting caught in something. Like, the majority of my fights are like that. And so, yeah, man, it was never giving up. Just always like, it's all I knew really, you know, since 2010. And then I did tell my grandma on her deathbed that one day she'd be able to watch me in the UFC for front row, you know, when she was dying. So that's kind of cool to get them wins now, you know?
Wow. Now, I heard your grandma fought Gabby Garcia. Is that true or no?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. No.
No.
I wanted to throw a really stupid joke. All right. So
no, now, a lot of bar fights back in her day, but no.
Your grandma had a lot of bar fights, for real?
Bro, they are bikers, bro. They threw down. My dad to this day, my mom. This is my mom's parents, and then my dad. They would always go out, and they would just be like. My dad always says to this day he would always rather have my grandma in a bar fight than any man ever.
That's awesome.
She was mean. I never saw that part of her because she quit drinking the day I was born. But they were a mean group of people, man.
Wait, so your grandma was a biker for real?
Yeah, like real, like ran around the Hell's Angels, North Omaha and shit.
Now, when you grew up in Nebraska, you wrestled for Nebraska. Did you place in the States? How'd you do?
Yeah, I placed my junior year, and then my senior year, I lost this, in the quarters of the eventual state champ, and I just didn't fucking care at that point.
Then you went to Iowa Community College.
Iowa Lakes. I wrestled a year up there, man, and just wasn't for me.
And you were like, fuck it, I'm going pro?
Well, I was just like, actually, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do, man. And I was one day, I was, after I left, this would have been May, so I did my year, and then I left, and I was like, my buddy, that random-ass dude, like, never in a fight in his life, was like, hey, I'm thinking I'm going to go do this cage fight in South Dakota. And I was like, fuck, I'll go. And so we drove up, just me and him together. That was it. And we fucking drove up and fought, man, in the tri-state cage fighting championships that was back then. And it was unsanctioned event in South Dakota, and I won, man. And, man, the rest is history. I just fucking loved it.
So you had no training. You didn't even, like, practice, no sparring.
Just
wrestled. You went up to South Dakota to fight. Was that on an Indian reservation?
Might have been. I don't even remember at that time. See, yeah, man.
You know what, though? I think that you said you went through the meat grinder. I think that it's good that you did, because now – you're fucking monster. Does that make sense?
These are different kind of people, man. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I would never just be like, hey, what do you do tomorrow? I don't know. Want to go fight in South Dakota on a reservation? Like, this is like a different type, a different breed, man.
You want to do that, Adam?
No, fuck no. Like, I'd be like, how much you paying me? Oh, nothing? Oh, yeah.
Like, it was super weird, man. I had no, and now I know, like, what I know now, because I help with, like, shows, and I do, like, all that stuff, like, back then, dude, I just want to fight just because, you know, an unsanctioned fucking, you don't even know who these dudes are. You didn't have no blood tests or any bullshit like that. It was fucking weird, man.
Now, your submission game, though, is insane. I was looking through some of your fights. The one against Charles Dupre, where you had the Von Flew choke. Like, that choke always fucks me up, because I always think the guy on bottom has the choke in. Because he always has the guillotine.
That dude, crazy story. So that dude and me, you know, that was right before I got in the UFC. But that dude and me went back and forth for fucking 8 years, right? And, like, I saved, like, I used to, he was in the same district as me in his wrestling. So, like, I always thought we were cool, you know, like Wallace. And then I started getting some, like, attention and fighting, and he started talking shit on me. And this dude would get, he's a crazy Indian. He'd get drunk and just talk shit to, on the internet, and, like, blow us up and all that stuff. And then, like, many times Anthony Smith wanted to kill him in the fucking bars and shit after fights. And I would, like, hold Anthony off, and then all of a sudden he turned on me, and then we settled it, and I ended up Von Fluing the kid.
Yeah, but that's such a crazy move, though, because I always think the guy on bottom has the other guy in the choke. Cause I'm not a big jiu-jitsu guy, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
bottom's just out. You're like, what? Like, what did I just watch? You know?
That's why, and it's so funny because, like, there's people recording it from the fan, from, like, a fan's point, like, going live, because it was like the big thing in Nebraska where me and him were fighting, because he was a big thing at one time around here or whatever. And so they were, like, recording it, and, like, none of his fans had any clue what the fuck just happened. Like, I just stood up and I flipped him off, and they're like, what? And they, like, shut off the video really quick. And, like, I got, like, four of those posts, like, people were sending me. It was kind of cool.
That was awesome. You know, it did seem, though, like, for a while, every time you stepped up at the level, because all the guys you lost to either UFC now, or they're just stars. And every time you would step up, it was like, oh, you would come so close. What is it now that allowed you to kind of, when you finally step up, to not fold under pressure?
Man, yeah, I don't think – a lot of times it wasn't me folding under pressure. I don't feel like it was me not having a super good fight IQ, or, like, not organizing my game well enough, if you were to say, like, because all majority of my losses, I was winning, like, all but till the moment that I lost, or, like, whatever happened, you know, like, I get caught in some stupid submission or, like, whatever. And that, along with cutting to 35, was retarded for so long. Now I got James Krause there, and he's organizing my game. I have my fight IQ is growing, and I owe a lot of that to him, you know. And now we're starting to slow my game down, and the effects were like what just happened with Charles Rosa, you know, because them, you know, honestly, like, his type of guy, that type of guy is kind of like was my kryptonite before him. Like, the dudes that can take an ass whooping and get their ass whooped for two rounds and then pull off some weird submission, you know what I mean? Just because I'm going too fast and blaming on myself. So, yeah, man, I owe it a lot to the camp down at Glory MMA and James Krause for sure.
So where were you before that?
I'm in Omaha at Premier Combat Center with Ryan Jensen. Like, I still train here and everything, but I was, like, popping around and doing my camps, like, in Vegas. I was popping, like, but I would only go for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, or I'd do my camps elsewhere. I used to go to Black House MMA, but, like, I would just only pop into camps, like, 2 or 3 weeks at a time. But now, like, that was my first 8-week camp of my career.
Yeah,
so
that's hard, because I talked to Kenny Johnson over at Black House, and he says it's hard. Yep. Because guys come 2 weeks before and they're like, hey, fix me. And he's like, I don't even know who these people are. I have to, like, learn. Yeah. Them, and then I don't want to fuck up what they're doing right versus what they're doing wrong. That's, I understand that even as a wrestling coach for me.
Yeah.
It's a way harder for me to get a kid that's good that I don't want to touch, that I don't want to fuck with what's working, than it is for me to kind of build a guy up from the bottom, because then I can,
oh, for sure,
I like know the guy. It's hard when someone's actually has some skills. In a weird, yeah, way, it's easier when they have no skills to get them some skills.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I've always said that too. I coach some youth wrestling too, and I've always said that too. I'd rather have a kid that knows jack shit that just wants to work hard than a guy that's coming in and he's the, you know, the fourth grader that freaking headlocks everybody. And right. You know what I mean? I'd much rather have the 4-year-old that knows nothing. So,
yeah, well, it's just hard for me because I don't want to fuck with, I'm not one of these coaches. Like, I think Edmund was like that, where it's like, no, you break down the guy completely, then you build him back up. I'm like, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to fuck with what's working.
At the, yeah, same
time, sometimes I, as a coach, I doubt myself because I'm like, ugh, if I would have left him alone, he would have been better. I've had so many times that where it's like,
yeah,
you know, sometimes even like in a match, I'll be like, top, bottom, neutral. I'm like, what do you want? I'll just say, what do you want?
Because, yeah. Yep.
Because I'm like, I'd rather him have the confidence of making his own decision than doubting what I'm telling him. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, for sure.
Well, let me ask you. So would you say the camp you would now, it's just like, it's way better for you?
Man, James Krause is so fucking good, man. And I keep telling people that, and, like, I'm giving him so much praise just because, like, I've always said my whole career that, like, I need a head coach. One, a pro head coach. Like, I've had coaches, and I've had good coaches. I need a pro head coach that's all he wants to do is make sure that you're fucking going to win and, like, your team's going to win, right? And James Krause is that guy. And he happens to be one of the best dudes in the world to do that position. And, you know, I've fought James's guys 3 or 4 different times, right? So, like, he already knows me on the opposite side. And so when I went to him, he already knew me inside and out from fighting me 3 or 4 times. So that's you know, it was perfect place for me.
Now, was there any ego? Because I know one of his main guys is Grant Dawson, who I love, just the nicest guy. And like I said, Shang, when you meet some of these guys, he's like a kid. Talk about, I mean, like, yeah. I hung out with, he comes to my show, I felt like it was like he literally could be my son. He's that young, and his girlfriend's cute, yada yada. So was it weird going into the gym because you lost to him, like training with him now?
When I fought him and Kevin Kroom, like that people would know, and then a couple other guys that train there, that I won against. But no, man, it's not weird. It's like, the thing is, like, once you fight somebody in the cage, this is a different mentality, you know. Like, there's no hostile environment, like, especially with those guys. Like, Dakota had fought a few of their guys before too, so James has been in the opposite corner of me a bunch too. So there's no really hard feelings, no nothing. You just go in there and you work hard. And I think the first week, bro, they were trying to get me, you know what I mean? Like some of the guys, not necessarily James, but I felt like I had to earn, like, okay, this dude's like in the UFC, blah, blah, blah. He's coming to us. He has a fight in 4 weeks. Like, let's see what he's all about. So I got put through the grinder then. And then it's just normal, you know, it's just one of those things. So
now, I love Kevin Kroom. He's hilarious. I've never met a fucking kid with worse ADHD in my life. he's got a big fight coming up against Bruce Leroy this week, which is going to be a great fight. How do you guys get him ready for Bruce Leroy?
Man, I think he's the big thing about that is just rounding out your own skills. You know what I mean? I think that Bruce Leroy, I mean, he moves a lot, but he does not like – Kevin's seen it all. You know, he's like me. He's one, you know, if you compare careers, me and Kevin we're on the same path. You know what I mean? So Kevin's already seen everything, but it's just rounding out what he's going to do against this guy. And I feel like, man, I feel like he goes in there and he wins by submission in the first or second round.
Yeah. Bruce is kind of like, he's one of those dudes that you don't know what Bruce is going to show up.
Yeah.
It's like a world beater, or you're just like, now another guy, Julian Marquez, your teammate. So after he won, I was so happy for him because, like, you're right. I love James Krause. And the way he told him was like, hey, man, you got to knock him out to win. You better fuck – like, you're losing the fight if you don't get a knockout or a submission. And he did it. I love when coaches tell you that. Then he calls out Miley Cyrus, right? And I make fun of him. Miley responds to him. I call the dude up at, like, 3 a.m. I go, wake up. He goes, whoa, what's up? I go, she fucking responded. Really? I go, yeah, man. He goes, what should I say? I'm like, I don't know. Fucking shave your fucking, because he said,
shave her neck. Yeah.
If you put empathy in your chest, he would hook up. He didn't do it. Now he's claiming that, like, they're friends now and it was a win. Like, Derek, did you tell him fucking shave MC in your chest?
I hadn't seen it. I haven't seen him since he won because obviously it was my. I don't. I flew
you're
from
a terrible Omaha teammate. Man. You're the worst fucking teammate for that, bro.
But. Yeah, he should have just fucking did it. Like, right. I mean, but the dude's a character, man. That shit's fucking crazy that all that shit went down and, like, she was responding and, like, you know, I mean, that's what you need to do, be a personality, I guess.
Now, you're married with you have twin girls, right?
I'm not married. I have my girlfriend and I, we've been together about 3.5 years. We have a 5-year-old that's hers, you know, but I've been around her for 4 years. And then I have my own 9-month-old, so.
Oh, wow. Nice. Now, do they get along?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's, like, that's her – my 9-month-old's fucking favorite person is her sister, so it's, you know.
Now you got to up the game, dude, because, like, Glory MMA now is becoming, like, you got to be, like – you got to call out, like, Demi Lovato, you better have a threesome being my girl. Like, come on. Like you have 24 hours. Be, like, come on. You got to – right?
I mean, I'm just – I mean, no, because I'd get my fucking balls slit off if I came home. Like, my shit, if I'd pull some shit like that, dude, all my fucking shit's in the snow right here, bro, outside my fucking house. Hey, not a chance that shit's happening. Shit, right. Fucking.
I'm just, all right. Yeah. All right, I'm just telling you, it could have been good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if she could take a joke, that'd be cool, but not a fucking chance.
if she would laugh at it.
Yeah. She ain't laughing, bro. Like, she's fucking, she, bro.
Wait, so you're 9 months old is with her, right?
What's that?
You're 9 months
old. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. And then how come no ring? You just don't want to make that mistake?
we just haven't got that. We're just on other paths on like our careers and shit right now, you know.
What does she do?
She does hair, but she does like hair extensions. She has her own salon and stuff like that. So.
Oh, nice. There you go. So. Yeah, those are the best, dude.
What's with the pressure and saying, well, why aren't you married? What are you?
Yeah, you can't call me out like that, man. Because
I got you.
Because now she's gonna see this and be like, yeah, motherfucker, what's up?
Yeah, like, of course.
Why are we married? Yeah, exactly. You put him in a position now.
Okay. Now, by the way, your teammate Dakota is killing it. Or your ex-teammate or whatever. This guy, Dakota Cox, he went from, like, being a good fighter, to all of a sudden his bare-knuckle skill. He knocked out Johnny Hendricks, and he beat Chris Leben. Like,
man.
Did he just find the – like, what happened?
Man, the crazy part is, so me and Dakota have been training together for, I don't know, 10 years, pretty much since I started training. Like, he was training at Premier, and, like – he's one of my best friends, man. And that dude, like, when he got was supposed to go and he fight whoever on the show that he ended up fighting Johnny Hendricks on, he calls me up. He's like, well, man, I overhear them talking that Johnny Hendricks' opponent fought out. What do you think? And I'm like, I think you fucking fight him. What do you mean? Like, ask for it right now. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, bro. And Dakota don't give a fuck who his fucking opponent is he's fighting, dude. He fought Chris Leben. And Chris Leben was like, 30 pounds heavier than him. But yeah, man, his style and the way he fights is perfect for this bare knuckle, man. It's insane. It's crazy to watch live. It's crazy to be in the corner, but like, I don't want to do it, but I love watching him do it because he's definitely the best in the world right now at that.
That's what Ellenberger told me too. Jake Ellenberger said the same thing. I guess everyone who from Nebraska that knows Dakota knows this dude just like has just like gorilla fists or something. Like,
yeah, bro. And the way he's built and the way his power and shit. And like, he's never wrapped his hands ever like in training or anything. So like, he's been hitting shit like with bare fists pretty much for his whole career. So like, he hits
hard
legal? Too.
Is that are you allowed to do that? Not wrap. Doesn't that hurt the person you're hitting? I mean, not having hand wraps. Is that harder or is that better or worse?
Yeah, man. Like I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, he probably should have been wearing hand wraps while we were sparring and shit. But, like, he never has, man. It's just crazy. Like, yeah, he's so good at that. And, like, just the way he strikes and shit is perfectly tailor-made for that. So,
you guys are crazy.
Like, it's like he did it and he's prepped for it now. Because he's been doing it so long. It's
Yeah.
You guys are crazy. Yeah. You guys are fucking crazy. I love it though. I love the fact that there's people like you, like real men are still around. Because
I appreciate it.
I live in LA. We don't have a lot of people.
A lot of people that they put avocado shit on their eyes. Like, yeah. A lot of bitch motherfuckers.
So let's talk about some fights coming up, some quick predictions. Rozenstruik versus Gane this week. Gane is 7-0. I didn't realize he's only been fighting MMA for 3 years. Before that, he did five or 3 years. Rozenstruik's another guy who's a monster, has one loss to Ngannou because he went punch for punch with him. Great game plan there. Who do you think wins this fight?
I'm taking the dog, man. I'm taking Rozenstruik.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's an underdog against it, right? That's crazy.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm going to take – I mean, it's a pretty even fight, but I think he gets him on his feet, man. I just do.
Chang, you?
I got to say, he's made mistakes, but I think that he's definitely got too much dog in him.
The other guy's only had seven fights, but 3 years is not a lot of time. That's not a long – I mean, look at this guy. He's been fighting since he was, like, 1974 or something. Ankalaev.
Just make him.
Ankalaev versus Krylov. Ankalaev coming off that huge win. Krylov's a monster. Who would I like in this fight?
Oh, man. I don't really know. I think Ankalaev probably.
Yeah, me too. You? Shane?
It's one of those ones where it's like, it's so close. Yeah.
All right. Pedro Munhoz versus Jimmy Rivera. These guys are your weight, right?
They're 35ers, but I got to go with my boy Pedro, man. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, for sure.
You ever train with him?
Yeah, a lot. He was my main guy at Black House. That's why I continued to go out there for a couple years. So back when 2015.
He had a tough time as of late. He beat Cody Nolov, and then he lost his last two fights. What do you think it is?
I thought he beat Frankie myself.
Yeah.
I thought he won that fight. I mean, it was close, but I thought he won that fight. Maybe a little biased, but, man, that kid, he's so good. I think he gets this one again. You know, he's already beat Rivera once, so.
Yeah, I think the two losses is actually going to put even more of a fire under his ass.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. They were very, very close fights. Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder. That should be a good fight. Angela Hill has fought like 19 times in the past year. She's a monster. Yeah. Ashley Yoder's got slick submissions. If this keeps standing, I got Hill all day. But Yoder pulls out some shit that you're just like, I don't even know that was even.
Yeah, and shit. Yeah, I think she can pull, like, she's not scared to pull guard or do whatever, dude. I think I like Yoder end up finishing the fight at some point in the submission.
All right, Shang.
I think if Hill doesn't do something stupid and go to the ground, if she stays on her feet, she's gonna piece her up. She's gonna absolutely piece her up. All right, come on, man.
Alex Hernandez, a guy who knocked out Benil Dariush, was on a fucking streak before he got to Donald Cerrone, who wins every fight like this, against Thiago Moises, another monster. Who wins this fight?
Man, I think Hernandez gets him. I think Hernandez gets him.
Who's the best guy you ever trained with?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, fucking James Krause right now. But, like, as stylistically, like, I've been in the same room as, like, Anderson Silva and those guys, so.
What's that like?
It's just crazy, surreal. I was point sparring him because, like, it was like we were both off on the rounds, and like it's just so crazy. You know what I mean? That was like 2014 before I had met a bunch of people too, so it was pretty surreal.
Did you think about possibly just knocking him out so you could be like, I knocked out Anderson Silva?
No, definitely did not.
No, Adam, for a minute there, Silva was the shit for quite a while, man.
Oh, yeah, for a minute there, for like the fucking.
Oh, no, you know what I mean. Yeah.
That's a long ass minute.
No, later, but everybody got the hands or the knee or the uppercut elbows, which I've never seen in my life.
Now your girl has a beauty parlor, sells extensions. How does a girl from Nebraska get so good at extensions? What's going on there?
I don't fucking know. Like she was doing this shit when I met her, so I don't know. She started hair, and then all of a sudden she fucking trickled off and did extensions. I guess I don't know.
Is she white, Latin, black? What nationality?
She's a white girl.
Well, a white girl does extensions. I like it.
That's cool. to a bunch of other white girls.
Shang, does that offend you? Shang, does that offend you?
No, that doesn't offend me. White women get extensions.
That's all. The bunch of all – she works in West Omaha with all those little prissy girls, so she gets a lot of fucking – a lot of extension girls.
Yeah. All right, I'm just asking. You don't have to judge me, okay?
No, but the fact you think that I would judge you about it, like, people talk about that. Yeah, out of all the shit I've thought about in life, like, yeah, man, white girls get extensions.
All right, I'm just saying. I'm just saying Mr. Potato Head is now Potato Head.
That's ridiculous, man. That's so fucking crazy.
That's crazy. All right. Well, listen, Derek, you're awesome. Who do you want to fight next?
Man, fucking whoever, but Chase Hooper keeps getting popped up with Derek Minner versus Chase Hooper, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to fucking fight that dude.
That's like child abuse, bro.
Let me get that child abuse, boy.
I mean, come on, dude. That guy has like three fights.
Nah, he's 2-1 in the UFC. So am I.
But Right, but you've had 40 fights. He just beat Puberty last week. I mean, come on, dude.
But they go in the UFC. They go by the fights. They
don't but he has a lot. I mean, he has a curfew.
I don't think fight. I'm gonna get that. I don't think I'll get that fight. But that's what people keep tagging me, and I kind of feel like people actually believe that he's on the same level as me, which is crazy, you know.
I like that kid, but his parents have to sign like a permission slip before he goes to the cage, bro. You can't fight that guy. He's way too young and inexperienced, and on the feet, I don't think that would be good.
But you know what? Sometimes you want to take that easy money.
Not this guy. Are you kidding? This dude had to like fight cows and shit in Nebraska.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, take the fight. His name keeps coming up. Take the fight. Murk him and move to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, if they came and offered, obviously I'm taking it. But I mean, I don't think it'll ever come across the board.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, brother. You're the best.
Congratulations on that, man. I was watching all the interviews. I was sitting there going, because I had watched other fights. I was saying, good, he fucking deserves it, and it was dominant. It wasn't like. No gray area where they could go, oh, I don't know. It was like, yeah. It was absolute. So that was good shit.
Thanks, man. Even though one judge gave him the third round, which is fucking crazy. Yeah,
but you know what? That judge licks windows and eats crayons.
Yeah. For real.
Well, the guy's a chef. I mean, he didn't want him to fuck up his food after the fight. but Derek, thank you for coming on the show, man.
Thanks, man. Right. Appreciate it, brother.
Anytime. All right, that was Derek Minor. Dude, you know, that's a guy you got to root for. I mean, the guy's earned it.
He earned it, but you know what? I think that it's good that he's on his platform now because tons of people now are talking about him.
Yeah, and you know, and it's good that, like, I mean, I think that like the pandemic, you know, is great for guys like that. That guy, because so many people are like, they're not training, they're not this. This dude stays hungry. He stays in the work. So I mean, he's a monster, that guy, and I'm happy for him because he seems like a real nice guy too.
And the thing is, I think that now that, because I was watching the different interviews we were doing and the different press he was doing afterwards, I think more and more people will realize how much of a monster he is, and he'll get better fights.
Dude, he has like 20 finishes in the first round, which is crazy because everyone who fights him knows just get out of the first round, and you have a better shot of winning. And he still can't get out of the first round, a lot of these guys, because he's that fucking, like, his chokes are that good, you know? The dude is just, he's like me, man. I can't wait till, like, I become, like, this fucking huge comic, and everyone's like, where the fuck did he come from? All my fans will be like, this dude fucking, he's been grinding.
And they didn't know you were.
Like, somebody fucking accused me of just being, oh, he just made tweets, and then they gave him a special. I'm like, what? I've been doing this since 1999, all right? Before Christian Natividad was born.
You've been doing it since 1999?
I've been doing the comedy since 1999, yeah.
Wow, I've been doing it.
Young buck here.
Yeah, dude, but before this kid was even born. All right, so we got this kid, Christian Natividad, who's a monster. I watched him fight in the LFA last week. Before that, he was knocking everybody out. His longest fight went 35 seconds.
That's too long, man. That's too fucking long, bro.
Hey, Michael Dreseo was tripping out, too. He was like, after the minute mark, he was like, this fight's been way too long. Usually Christian knocks all these people out before that.
Oh, my God. So he's a guy from Hawaii. He was a state champ wrestler in Hawaii, right? Then he wrestled for ASU. But you were a walk-on first at, like, a community college, right?
No, so what actually happened was I wrestled at Southern Oregon. They're number two ranked in the NAIA division, and then I wanted to wrestle D1, so I went to ASU. And to be honest, I can't even really say that I even wrestled for them. I walked onto the team, and halfway through the season, I ended up quitting, and I didn't even wrestle a match with them. So, I mean, I did walk onto the team, but I never really competed for them.
But were you there with what's his name, those two brothers that were just monsters?
Yeah, so I think that my year there was their first year. So, and they were still like the studs at the time too.
What were their names again? Or are their names?
Zahid Valencia and Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony Valencia and Zahid. These guys are monster wrestlers. Right. So, I mean, you go from Oregon, which is a D2 school?
NAIA. So
NAIA. Was it just was the competition level too high and you were like, fuck this, or you just wanted to punch people in the face?
Just that right there, man. You can't put your stress by hugging people. You gotta punch something. So I just decided to do MMA.
You're killing it. Now you're boxing, because I watched the first couple of your fights in LFA, and you landed literally your one fight was like nine seconds. It was just one punch, the guy went out. And then your next fight was like 16 seconds. It was insane. And I'm like, who the fuck is this kid? And they were like, he's a wrestler. And I'm like, mind blown. And your older brother's in the UFC. So he probably used to fuck you up growing up, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, before we even started training, I was the punching bag. So
so now you're 3-0. And your last fight in the LFA, the kid was good. The kid was good. You made him look bad, but he could take a punch.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the crazy thing about that, too, is looking at his record, he looks like a turd. He has a losing record now. But if you look deep into it, like the people that he lost to in boxing, all those guys are studs, like 15-0, 11 knockouts. He's just fighting all these studs. And then the only other person that he lost to in MMA is Chris Gutierrez, which he's in the UFC. And I think he's undefeated right now in the UFC. Yeah. So. He fights studs, and the reason why he loses is because I don't want to say being set up for these fights, but he's accepting any fight that he gets brought up to.
Yeah, and the fight was in Kansas. Everyone's booing you. People are like, everyone was rooting for him. Like, he had the whole crowd with him. And yeah. Now, were you surprised? Because you landed some huge shots, and he was right in front of you. Was that like a shock for you?
To be honest, no. I knew he was tough, and again, looking at his record, he fought all these studs and he's never been stopped. He's never been dropped, even by those like pro boxers who like hit harder than Alistair Overeem, you know? He's never been stopped.
Got it. Now when you quit the ASU wrestling team, because you were a stud wrestler, was your coach pissed? Who was it? It was who's the coach over there?
Zeke Jones. And
mad.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know if he's ever gonna watch us or not, but and to be honest, I don't even know if he remembers me, because this was like 5-6 years ago. But he goes and he tells me, Christian, or he brought me to the side of the mat after I told him I wanted to quit, and he says, I want you to write me an email of why you want to quit. And I want you to rethink it, reread what you read, and then we'll talk. And I just didn't respond. I just never sent him that email. That was my last day at the wrestling room, and that was it. So it sucks because I broke that connection that I had with him, but I was just done with wrestling.
You think he's looking for the email still? You think every day he checks for the email?
I'm waiting.
Now, were you there?
Now he didn't hit me back. God damn it.
Now, were you there when I was there? Because they had me do jokes for the whole team. Were you in the room when I was there?
No, I wasn't.
So the assistant coach, the guy who beat Ben Askren twice, what's his name?
Pendleton?
Yeah, Chris Pendleton.
That guy hated me.
Why'd he hate you?
I don't know, because I was walking to the team and I was like, hey, coach, can I get my sweats? And he was like, no, you can't get your sweats yet. I was like, why? I'm a part of the team. And he was like, no, I'm not going to give you the sweats. And I mean, it worked out for him because I ended up quitting later, and he probably thought to himself, good thing I didn't give this guy a sweat. He just joined the team so he could get some wrestling gear.
So Chris calls you up. He's like, hey, I want you to talk to the ASU wrestling team. I'm like, I'm a comedian. What am I going to say? I wrestled for like 2 months, D3, and quit also. But all right. So I go there. He goes, I want you to watch practice. I go to watch practice. Oh, this is awesome. Then he goes, hey, Adam, come here. Now he lines the whole team up, and he goes, do some jokes. And I'm like, oh, God. So I start telling the most offensive jokes. They cut me in like 4 minutes. Like, I could tell the kids were all laughing, but they were like, what the fuck kind of, like, I was doing like trends, all these jokes about, like, I think it was Caitlyn Jenner and this. And everyone's looking at me like, what? Why is this happening?
I didn't finish practice.
but so I thought maybe you were there for that debacle.
I want to ask you real quick. So, what is it about wrestlers once they get there, once they start feeling those hands? Once they start running those hands, they fall in love with it. Because I've seen a lot of wrestlers make the transition, and as soon as they get those hands, but you still got that wrestling in your fucking tool shed. You know what I'm saying? And so I never understood that. And then when a wrestler says, well, this other dude I'm fighting got hands too, you got to go back to your wrestling. You got to.
I don't know if you met a lot of wrestlers, but most of them are stubborn people that like want to just like hit stuff, you know. And in wrestling, it's the closest thing that you could do in a high school sport other than football, you know. But I mean, once they just like feel like release that stress, you know, onto like other people and like throwing their hands, I mean, I think that's where like wrestlers find their love. They're just all angry people. And then they got they're wrestling in their back pocket, so whenever they do want to aggressively cuddle, then they can just take it down to the mat.
How did your boxing get so good, though?
I have no idea. Practice.
Now you train over in Arizona. Are you with Cejudo and those guys?
So yeah, I'm training with them now. So I'm originally from Arizona Combat Sports under Trevor Lally. It's a different gym. I think that's a great gym for learning all my knowledge and stuff like that. Training with Cejudo over at Fight Ready, that's where I kind of like test myself. That there's a ton of different sparring partners, ton of different looks and different things that they teach as well. So just having a blend of both of them.
So like it's now, have you sparred with Henry?
I haven't, but my brother has.
Wow, that must be pretty awesome. Who won? Your brother or Henry?
I'm pretty sure my brother would say he won, but don't tell Henry that. No. So what happened was my brother was still an amateur. Him and Henry were sparring, and my brother was catching him with a couple shots. I think it was going back and forth, and Henry Cejudo started throwing those like calf kicks. And then my brother mentioned after the round, they're like, "Hey man, I got a fight next Saturday." And then Henry Cejudo was like, "Whoa, you shouldn't have punched me in the face." Yeah,
that's hilarious. Henry did not.
He is cringe in person.
No, he's the nicest guy. He's a nice guy. But he does not like – he doesn't like losing. He does not like
– Some of his videos, I'm going, what the fuck?
He's not
going
to let some kid from Hawaii show up and start beating him up. He's like, fuck it. Like, he'll start poking eyes or wedgies or, you know, checking oil.
I haven't trained with him at all yet. I just started training out Fight Ready just a couple months ago now. And just being in the same room as him, though, it's awesome seeing him there, seeing like what I don't want to say what he's capable of, but seeing like his work ethic and seeing how he trains. That guy is on a different level, man. He just hustles all the time. He works so hard, and it's hard to like. It's rare to see someone train that hard in a room, you know. And especially like with the coaches that they have at Fight Ready, like he's at a great spot and he has a great mindset.
Now is Corrales there? Henry Corrales?
Henry Corrales is there. Yeah, that guy's a stud too.
Is that one of your partners?
He is, yeah. So he was helping me prep for this last LFA fight.
He's a good
guy. Yeah, super good, nice man. Like, you'd be surprised. You look at him and you think this guy's a douchebag, but he is the nicest guy inside that entire building. Like, he's nicer than every other fighter.
Super he's had some motivated. Crazy jail fights, too. Ask him about his jail fights. he actually came on the show.
Yeah.
Talked about his jail fights. That was crazy.
Oh man, I gotta watch that episode. He gets pretty nasty.
No, you think what was he saying, Shang? If someone took the bathroom, they wouldn't let him use the toilet or something. So yeah, fucked the guy up. Or
so he basically bashed him.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I'll bash you over if I gotta take a shit. I will bash you.
Now is that hot girl there? Who's the really hot one? The smoking hot.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Tracy.
Yeah. Is she there?
Yeah. Yeah, she's there. I just rolled with her a couple weeks ago.
Uh-oh. Yeah. What was that like?
It was good. It was good.
See? Oh, yeah. Okay. That when you – why'd your voice go lower? Oh, yeah.
Her boyfriend's really nice.
Well, that was my girlfriend. I don't want to say anything too loud.
Yeah. Her boyfriend's a nice guy. So she's with that guy with the ears out to here. She had a boyfriend. Which one? She came to my show with her boyfriend. The guy was like a wrestler. He was training for like the Olympics or something.
Oh, so. I have no idea, but I mean, I hope they don't watch this episode because next time they see me at the gym, they're gonna.
No, you didn't say anything. Tracy,
this is the last you've heard of me.
No. Tracy came to my show. I saying how hot she was and how like you meet her, she's the nicest thing. And then you see her on Instagram, you're like, damn. Anyway, but yeah, she's good people. She's really good people. Now, what I liked about your last fight was your coach. Your coach was honest with you. He's like, you're winning the fight, but this guy can take a punch. Which is like, basically what he's saying was like, don't headhunt. Don't get stupid. Don't try to knock him out. Just win the fight And right? Is that pretty much what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's exactly what I did wrong. I was headhunting the entire time. If you watch the entire fight, like throughout the entire 15 minutes, I threw less than 10 body shots. And it's crazy because everything that we worked on the entire fight camp, I did nothing of it. All I did was like try to knock him out just because I had a reputation of like knocking people out. I tried way too hard looking for his head. And I mean, it just didn't happen.
Yeah, but okay, so that's good. Listen, your third fight, now you know. Don't believe the hype. Everyone's calling you a knockout artist. And now you learn, okay, I just have to be the best I can. It's not about the highlight films. That will come by doing the best I can.
Yeah. Right?
But you knew this before, but now you seem like one of those guys that like, don't touch the stove, it's hot. You gotta touch the stove, right? You gotta learn for yourself.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I learned too. Like, I mean, just staying composed. And it was super weird too, because when I woke up that morning, I felt great. My stomach felt good. Mindset was right. Everything was going perfectly. As soon as we got to the venue, for some reason, I went into autopilot and I could not snap out of it. My coach, Trevor, he goes and he tells me, "You feeling explosive? You feeling good?" And I was like, "Yeah, I feel great." Right after the fight, he asks me, "You didn't feel the same, did you?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And I don't know what it was, but I just wasn't fully there. And I just tried to get in and get out of the cage. I just wanted to end it right away.
Well, Christian, listen, you're 3-0. Stop apologizing, okay? Because this one, he wins the fight. It was right. A great fight. It was a tough fight. And he gets on Instagram, "Not the outcome I wanted." Like, you would think he lost. Like, people that lose... we're less apologetic. It's like,
"Hey, I'm sorry I let my fans down."
Yeah.
Say it, man.
Dude, you won 30-27 on all three cards, right? I mean,
30-26 on two of them.
30-26 on two of the cards. Like, you're not going to knock everybody out. Some people, yeah. just stop apologizing. You don't have to apologize, all right?
Yeah, you're right.
Come on, man.
But you know what? People will get in the mindset, "Oh, he's a knockout artist. He's a knockout artist." So they expect it from you.
Yeah, but fuck those people. Let them knock people out.
I don't fuck them, but I'm saying that's what can get in your head because people do expect it.
Oh, and it was getting into my head too. When I had my interview with Ron Crook and Michael Chiseo, I mean, I was just talking about how I'm going to knock this guy out, all this stuff, all that. The hype was getting to me, so.
Well, first of all, it's Chiesa. You got to apologize for that, not Chiseo. But listen, you're doing great, okay? You're killing. You're fighting in a fucking pandemic. You won. Let's no more apologizing. Even if you get knocked the fuck out in your next fight, stop apologizing. All right. No more apologies. Right, Shang?
I switched to my other persona. I have three different personas. I got my work one, my Poi Panda mode, and then my regular one.
Right.
Now, aren't your parents fighters too?
They used to beat me up, but they weren't professional fighters.
Well, I mean, fuck it. Now, you grew up in Hawaii?
Grew up in Hawaii, yeah. Yeah.
What island?
Oahu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my dad is from Kalihi, so like back then when we were younger, for all those people who don't know Kalihi, a lot of those guys are pretty aggressive, and my dad was one of them. He used to just beat me and my brother up back then. Like, he used to grab his golf clubs, whack us with those, his bamboo sticks. He used to whack us with the belt, and not like the soft side of the belt. I'm talking about the metal side. And he used to just whack us. So growing up, we had it pretty tough, but it's all love at the end.
But you know what, Hawaiians, I'm going to keep it real. When I went there and did a couple shows, Hawaiians are some tough motherfuckers, man.
Toughest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not bullshitting you. I went to a bar and some shit popped off and I was like, "I'm not fighting none of these motherfuckers."
No, he's right. I mean, first of all, BJ Penn's the king of the island.
I don't know. I don't think so anymore. No,
Matt. No, he's still the king. He's still the king. Trust me.
No, Matt, are you serious?
Yeah. And then the women there, like they all get married at like 19 and have kids by 22. Am I right?
Yep, that's. Oh no, it's a little bit younger now. That was back in 1990. Now it's
But you went from Hawaii to ASU. Like, you stayed with the hottest women. Like, that's except Oregon. Oregon must have been rough for you. That must have been a culture shock. I mean, that must have been.
Oh yeah, like the six over there, or the sixes are like the tens, you know, like
yeah,
like any girl that you see who had like some kind of booty, everyone was on top of her.
Oh, in Oregon,
six, yeah. You know.
Yeah. That's I don't blame you for transferring to ASU. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. When I transferred to ASU, I had sunglasses on all the time. I was just like looking everywhere.
Now, was Bubba Jenkins on the team back then? No, right? That was
he was, but I've never seen him, never met him.
But he was on the wrestling team, though? He was on the
– Yeah. Yeah, he was ASU, I think, just his senior year. And I think that's when he actually won the NCAAs.
Got it. That was your year?
Oh, no. That guy is, like, 10 years older than
Oh, yeah. He's older, right? Yeah. I'm like fucking – yeah, got it.
Yeah, that guy's a stud, man. I've never met him. I think he still fights for Bellator, doesn't he?
He's actually in the PFL now, and he's fighting Lance Palmer in his first fight. And he has 5 wins over Lance Palmer in college. But this is not wrestling. It's going to be – it's a tough one.
It's going to be a whole different ball game.
But we'll see. I mean, Bubba's one of those dudes that, like, talent-wise, it's hard to find a person more naturally talented than Bubba. It's just a matter of game planning and a matter of, like, how hard he's going to work. Because Bubba can surprise a lot of people. You know, he could actually – I think he could do it. He could beat Lance Palmer. He has the mental edge over him. If you get someone, you lose someone 5 times.
No, you can't even go by that because it's a different ball game. It's not wrestling.
It's not wrestling. But still, if someone beats you 5 times, you know, they beat you 5 times. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Lance is going to be a huge favorite. It's hard to pick up against Lance Palmer. He hasn't lost in like 3 years. He's a monster. So
he won the last 2 PFLs, right? Does it have like $2 million now?
Yeah, and he wanted to leave the organization for not getting enough fights. That dude's hungry. I mean, he's one of those guys that, like,
he's 2 million in. He should be.
He's like, fuck it. No, he wanted to leave. Like, he was like, wow. No. That's a guy who loves fighting. So, like, it's a different breed. Man. Some of you guys are different breeds. Like, you guys fight for free. This kid's in Hawaii. He leaves Oregon State. He walks onto a Division I team that's ranked 8th in the country after wrestling for a JV middle school team. I mean, this kid just wants to knock everybody out. He apologizes after he wins. I mean, you guys are just fucking crazy. He goes, my dad beat me up with golf clubs, but it was love. Like, that's not fucking love. Like, people's dads don't beat them with golf clubs. That's golf clubs.
Well.
Golf clubs.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I never got golf clubs.
I mean, no, he actually hit you with a golf club?
Oh yeah, he no fear at all. He goes all out.
Now, did he go four? Like he like, or was just like little taps?
Oh, he goes. My dad, he's the number. He's like one of the top ranked amateur golfers in California. Just imagine him swinging that on top of me and my brother.
Wow. Now what did you guys do to like, why would he hit you with golf clubs?
Just like dumb stuff if we don't listen to him, if we don't mow the grass. But I mean, that's how we grew up though. That's how, like, I mean, he would hit us a couple times, we would cry, and then we'd have dinner.
Wow. There's a lot of grass in Hawaii too. That's a lot of fucking grass.
That yard too. We had a huge yard.
Well, Christian, man, so you're 3-0, and I really think you're going to be champ one day. I'm telling you. You heard it from me first, okay?
Okay, so what? We're going to come back to that because you
first
said
time
it.
First time I saw Chris Weidman fight, first time in the UFC, I think he beat Tom Lawler. I was like, this guy's going to be champ. I told Dana that. Dana's like, he couldn't remember the name. I'm like, there's a guy from Hofstra, Chris Weidman. First time I saw Colby Covington fight, I said, this guy's going to be champ. This is back when no one was talking about Colby Covington.
Right. That one I think you're wrong on.
Dude, he was an interim champ already.
He still has to fight Usman again.
Okay, let's talk. All right. Okay.
Come on.
First time I saw Cormier. That was the easy one, Cormier, because he's a 2-time.
Okay, first time Silva.
All right. Though, this kid right here. First time I saw, I said Caldwell was going to be champion. And now, Caldwell was a national champion too in college, so maybe that wasn't the hardest pick, but I said this guy would be champion. This kid right here, mark my words, is going to be the champ, okay? You're going to be the champ. So when you are champ,
you better still come back on these podcasts, okay?
Hey, I'm back all the time, man. You just let me know when. I got so excited. I was here a little early. I was like, hey, where's this guy? I'm here for like 10 minutes. I'm so stoked to be on the podcast. But, yeah, when I'm the champ, man, you guys are going to be first on my list for podcasts I'm going
to
be on.
Thank you. And say hi to your brother. And then your brother's fighting in like 2 weeks, right?
No, he's fighting in like 10.
Who's he fighting?
He's fighting, I don't even know how to say his name, like Dana Batagrell, something like that. Right.
Well, last time I talked to him, he was like in a one bedroom. He had like no electricity. He had like a fire in the middle of the room. So you guys are still grinding away. Well, take care, Christian, and be good.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Anytime.
Keep knocking people out.
I will.
All right. Well, so Britton Hart.
You called that he's going to be champ, and you really did call that Chris Weidman was going
to
be champ?
Swear to God.
Wow.
Swear to God. I said, I mean, look, he was a four-time All-American wrestler in college, but just I don't know. There was something about him. Same with Colby. The guys who do everything well and like aren't like experts at one thing, although you could argue, I mean, of course you could say, obviously argue he's an expert in wrestling, but he wasn't like an Olympian, but he was still like,
expert.
But he just those are the guys that, and I didn't see any type of, I was like, this is gonna be hard to beat, you know? When you get guys that are just good, really great at everything.
And why did you say Colby? Because, I mean,
because I was just like, same thing.
His pacing, I would say, maybe.
Work ethic, two-time All-American in college, good striking, quick, fast, durable, can take a punch. I'm like, but this guy's going to be I just saw it. I'm like, you know, I just
– Wow. You know, I only saw it twice. I was wrong on two, and for some reason, I thought Mike Perry, because I thought he was just fucking out of his mind. And the first couple of fights I had with Mike Perry, I said, yo, this motherfucker is a monster. And then he let me down.
Well, I don't think he had a really – I mean, as great as Mike Perry is, he doesn't really have a background in MMA in anything. Like, he didn't wrestle in college. He didn't wrestle in high school. He did – I think he did amateur boxing. But, you know, when you get to that level, playing catch-up is fucking hard.
Right.
Know? And he's doing it, but then also discipline and being coachable are not really his strengths.
That's his strength. Not now, but I'm saying it for some reason.
A lot of times you want to see how good a guy is. You ask the coaches,
right.
when Sarah Longo were so high on Weidman, they were, and those two guys, you can't fuck around with those guys. Like Matt Sarah is not a guy to tell you that you're good at anything unless he thinks you're good. Like,
right.
So when Matt Sarah says this guy's got skills. So that being said, like, you know, I mean, look, there are some guys like I did not, as good as Bisping was, I didn't think Bisping was going to beat Luke Rockhold the second
you
time.
Didn't?
No, nobody did. I mean,
the reason I'm going to tell you why I thought he was going to beat him. I thought that Rockhold was extra cocky and he seemed like he was looking past him.
Of course, that's exactly.
People, I think they're going to get fucking.
I was rooting for Bisping. I went crazy when Bisping won. I almost had tears in my eyes. I was like jumping on my. I was so happy for him. But the first time he fought him, he got rear naked choked with a one arm guillotine. Oh, he got rear naked. That's the stupidest thing I ever said. He got choked out with a one arm guillotine, and it wasn't even very competitive. So,
Looking past him. Okay, give you examples. George St. Pierre looked past
Matt Sarah. Yeah, of course.
And then he got caught, and that was it.
Yeah,
so
but there are also millions of times where people look past the guy and still won. So we just don't hear about those times because the guy won.
Right.
You know, I mean, how many times do we hear a guy after the fight go, this guy's not on my level? Every time that someone says that, they basically look past that guy. Right. And say that person's not on his level, you know? So.
I picked, no, three, because I did think Stylebender was going to be champ. I picked Silva right off the bat.
You picked Silva before he was champ? Come on.
First fight, I just thought,
You were a fan of Silva back in.
I watched. Okay, I'm telling you right now. Well, I have my three favorite fighters, and yeah. Frankie Edgar's one. I don't care what anybody says. Frankie Edgar's one of my favorite fighters ever. Fuck everybody.
But this kid right here, I'm telling you,
he's also
lighter, you know. And I feel like he's also lighter. Not that it's not as tough. It is. It's really tough. But I think that like winning it at 155 is easier than is harder than winning it at 125 or 135.
Right.
You think that less there are just less guys that are 135, 125. You know, I think winning it at 170 is like most guys are probably around 170 or 185. That's why those are the deepest divisions, the most competition.
Right.
Now 155, there's just so deep. Not that 25 is not, it's just less guys. How many guys, you know, there are 100?
There's less guys. So, yeah, I mean, no, absolutely. That's why, like, right now, I had posted it on Facebook, the fighters I want to see fight, even though I want to see Usman fight Masvidal, I want to see him fight Kobe first.
Of course. Everybody, no, there's not, except for Masvidal, I don't think anybody else wants to see that. Masvidal might be the only guy that actually
the only guy that wants to see it, right?
But everybody, first of all, there's more bad blood. It was a more competitive fight. It was closer. I know what you're gonna say. It was a short. I don't want to hear. I was gonna like actually put it as a disclaimer that Chang is not allowed to bring up Masvidal during this podcast. Like, I know what you're gonna say. I hear you, but yes, to your point, I 100% agree. Kobe is the fight everyone wants to see.
Kobe. And I actually want to see Poirier if he comes back. If he might be selling hot sauce and say, fuck it. But I want to see him and Chandler.
Oh, yeah. No, Poirier's not going anywhere. The fight that I don't want to – I'm a Kobe fan. And I'm also a Wonderboy fan. But I think that other than Usman, Wonderboy gives him the hardest problems. Because Wonderboy is such a hard person to figure out. And it seems like the only people that beat Wonderboy are the ones that knock him out. And Kobe doesn't seem to have that one-punch knockout power.
Right.
Whereas, like, Woodley did. And if Woodley hadn't landed those punches, he might have not won those fights against him. You know? Okay. So
I like Wonderboy. I watch all his videos. And I like him a lot. I would like to see him get a shot at it.
And he said he wants to poke Kobe in the eye. He goes, I don't like – which is like the nicest insult ever. He's like, right. I want to untie his shoe. You know, he's like, I want to put dirt in his soda. I'm just like, what? Like what kind of – like, I want to turn off the lights when he's in the room and run out. Like he it's so funny that he says, I want to poke him in the eye. Like, that's
– It's just him, it seems like. I mean, I can't see him talking shit. I just don't see him talking shit. Yeah. So
He said he seems like a real nice guy, and everyone says nice guy. But his the character he does, I want to poke him in the eye. I'm like, that is the nicest thing I've ever heard.
But do you think that he should get a shot at Usman?
Wonderboy?
Yeah, that'd be a good fight. I think that he would give him problems.
He gives everyone problems.
Right, I know. But what I'm saying is.
I guess it's like right.
But why is it they write Burns off, just wrote him off? Like, yeah, I mean, a lot of people were like, well, he shouldn't be back in the mix. Yes, he should.
Well, he needs to win a fight. You can't get a title shot off a loss.
He should maybe fight once, and then I think he should get another shot because he was a monster up to that point. I mean, I think Usman just had his number or something because they had trained together so much.
He got his number. He lost the first round. He got fucking – he was getting blitzed.
That rocked. But I'm saying – but he – did you see? He got his shit together and said, okay, he got me that first round.
Yeah, he came back.
Stabbed him to death, dude.
That's true.
It was so – I was sitting there going, that's GSP.
It was better than GSP. GSP wasn't knocking people down with jabs. It was better. It was better than GSP.
Okay. You think he's better? He would be better than GSP? You think that?
No, I thought that jab was better than GSP's jab.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but if you think that if GSP and him fought at their peak,
GSP.
Wow, I think so too. I think the only person that he would have fought Khabib. If GSP would have fought Khabib when he was younger, that would have been the shit.
Yeah, but well, wait. At 70?
Yeah.
GSP can't make 55. He's shredded at 70. And Khabib at 70, I don't know. I mean, anyway, you're awesome. Where can people see your special?
No, it's just funny. You're like, I don't know. I just don't.
I don't know. This is such a hypothetical matchup. I don't
know. No, but that's the fight people like are constantly talking about. I'm going.
They're not
going
to. GSP's not coming back. Khabib's not coming back. I don't want to see two guys don't want to come back fight each other.
Yeah, they don't. Khabib doesn't want to come back. He promised. Didn't he promise his dad?
Yeah, well, he promised his mom. GSP has, like, incredible anxiety and OCD, I think, personally. I mean, allegedly, according to me. And I think that it just takes so much out of him to fight. He said he never even enjoyed fighting. So if a guy is a millionaire and he's doing very well and he has a gym and he loves to be on the sport and he's a nice guy and he has all his brain cells and doesn't want to be there, I wholly, like, support and respect that. And Khabib is a guy that 30-0, and after his last fight – didn't want to be there either, it seemed like. It seemed like he was doing it because, you know, so it's just like if two guys want to go out on top, I think that's the way to go out, you know.
Yeah.
I would much rather see that than see, you know.
Like what happened with Anderson Silva.
You know, Melvin Gallard loses 9 fights in a row or something. Or like that, where it's guys are fighting for money and they, you know they're going to get knocked out. And
it becomes sad, yeah. So, no, anybody that's listening, if you got Amazon Prime, Shang is Shangri 20, it came out last Thursday, Amazon Prime, go to Amazon Prime, look at Shang is Shangri, and please write a review and rate it. It's very important on Amazon to write a review and rate it. Amazon Prime, Shang is Shangri, that's where I want you guys to check me out. And hopefully you laugh. It's an hour of me back-to-back hitting them with crazy jokes.
Yes. As for me, I will be at where am I going to be? I'm in Arizona. I'm in Gilbert, Arizona, on March 13th, doing a crazy show, House of Comedy in Phoenix, March 25th to the 28th. The Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, April 2nd and 3rd. The Boca Black Box in Boca Raton, April 23rd to 24th. Tiff's Comedy Club in New Jersey, May 14th and 15th. Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, June 11th to the 13th.
That's a strange club.
It's the best.
I had fun there. I did that one. Yeah, I did that one. I've done all of them except for the weird one you're doing in Arizona.
Yeah, anyway, you guys are great. Thank you so much, Shang.
All right, man.
Stay on for 1 second.
All right.